You probably recognize the words for this a little bit, where this comes from, as Rod's going to speak on the 23rd Psalm today. The Lord is my shepherd. He gives me, my voice is pretty trash, as you can tell. The Lord is my shepherd king. I don't need anything. He meets me in pastures green, leads me beside the stream, restoreth my soul. He calls me his own. Leads me in righteousness and into the deepest depths. I shall not know fear. I know he is near. The table is set. Front of my enemies, my cup overflows. My confidence grows. Rod and staff comfort me. Your mercy shall follow days of my life, all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I will dwell in the house of I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Yeah, we are going to do a quick journey through the Psalm 23. If you've got your Bible, you can turn to that famous, famous psalm. Some of you might know it by heart. Saw a couple of funny story things on Facebook this week. Like I saw the one that said that someone went to go buy camouflage pants, right, the other day, but they couldn't find any, right? You see that kind of idea? There were two Eskimos sitting in their kayak. They were really cold, so they built a fire in that wooden boat, and sure enough, the boat sank, proving once again that you can't have your kayak and heat it too. How about this one? Two antennas on top of a rooftop. They fall in love. The wedding ceremony wasn't so hot, but the reception was excellent. Okay. I'm going to keep trying until I get one that you laugh at. Invisible man and the invisible woman, they married each other. Yeah. The invisible man married the invisible woman. The kids weren't much to look at either. But, all right. All right, last one. It's now or never. Two cannibals eating a clown. One says to the other, does this taste funny to you? All right, that's it. That's all I got. No. Please, don't egg me on. All right, hope you're ready to get into the Word for a few minutes. Let's pray. Father, now as we open your word, we expect and we hope to hear from you. And we long to have your word grab our hearts and just take us right where we're at, right where you want us to be. Lord, some of us, we need to be challenged. Some of us need to be convicted. Some of us need to be encouraged. Some of us just need to be dropped to our knees. Lord, I just pray that you, Holy Spirit, you would do what you need to do through this. In Jesus' name I ask, amen. So I spoke to someone this week who was really, really struggling. Got me thinking. And they were struggling with things that I know a lot of you that you've struggled with in these areas. And this person just kind of magnified so much of it. They were really struggling with all their sin and their failure. It was just overwhelming. They were struggling with how God seems so far away in their life. God just seems so far away, and they were questioning, like maybe you've questioned or some others you've talked to, they question like, God probably doesn't love me because I'm too bad, and I've gone through too much, and I've failed him so many times, and man, there was just so much pain in this person's voice. It was so hard. I really ached along with this person, but I tried to encourage, I tried to share truth. But you know how sometimes words just come back shallow. When they come back, they feel weak when someone's hurting so bad. They're down so low. You know, to say, well, just buck up. You know, trust Jesus. It sometimes doesn't quite help. Yeah, there we go. Amen. Trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. But, you know, it just sometimes it feels like you want to offer more when the pain is so deep. It's like putting a Band-Aid over a bullet wound. Not really going to fix the problem, is it? Hides it for a little while, maybe. So what's the answer? What's the answer for any of us who are discouraged? What's the answer for any of us who are having a hard time figuring out what are we doing here on this crazy planet Earth? What do we say to the person that doesn't feel that close companionship with their Creator? What needs to happen? I personally, you've heard me say this probably 100 times, but I think there needs to be a spiritual rewiring that happens for all you techie people. You know, the wires are messed up. Their wires are in the wrong place, or they're not getting all the right receptors. And there needs to be this spiritual rewiring that happens in our brain or in our soul or whatever. But it's something that God really needs to do. So that it's not that God's not speaking, it's not that God's not close, it's just we can't get the right reception. We're not on the right channel, whatever it is. And so that rewiring, you might call it even a spiritual cleansing that needs to happen for a lot of us. This idea of just getting rid of the defeat and the deception and all the temptations that the enemy pounds us with, and getting rid of that and getting to the point where we can be bathed, we can be baptized by the messages of God. We can be bathed in the words of the Lord, and they speak to us and they grab us at our heart. That's where we need to get to that point in our lives. All of us need to get there again. So as I was sharing with this guy and just listening to him, I instantly thought of the most loved psalm of believers for centuries. For centuries, this has been the most loved psalm. It's so easy to speak on it. You often hear it at funerals, right? Some of you grew up, even if you didn't go to church a lot, some of you still have this memorized, you know, the Shepherd's Psalm, Psalm 23. And it's so well known that a lot of us have it memorized in the Old English, the King James Version. And I thought it'd be fun to actually recite it together in the Old King James. And so somewhere, my clicker, I don't know where the clicker went. Oh, there it is over there. Let's do that together. Would you mind standing just in honor of the word? And let's recite. Got the T off, cut off there. Whoops. Did I get taken off? Okay. Let's say this together. And, you know, they got some of these and thous and shalts, okay? That's this one. But don't get freaked out. We still understand all the words. Ready? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful just to hear that again? Thanks. You can have a seat. I love that. As I read through this psalm a few times this last week, I started to focus on what God was doing. What was the shepherd's part in all this? And it really just started to like come alive for me, what God is doing in this psalm. Not so much about me and my struggles and where I'm doing, but to see what God's part in all this was. It was so much fun. And so I wanted to do that with you. And it reminded me of some of the special names of God that we have in Scripture. And I'd like to take you through those special names of God as we go through this psalm in a more detailed way. I'm going to read it again. This time we'll do it in the New Living Translation. It's almost exactly the same. Instead of the Lord, I'm going to put Yahweh, okay? Because we're going to talk about Yahweh here. Yahweh is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, and he brings honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I'm not going to be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod, your staff, talking about the shepherd's crook, right? The rod and the staff, they protect and they comfort me. You prepare a feast for me, and it's in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and your unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of Yahweh forever. When you look at this and you're talking to someone who says, I just don't think God's close. I just can't feel God. When you look at this and say, his goodness and his unfailing love, it's going to pursue us all the days of our life. And he's going to walk with us through the valley. There's all these amazing things that God is part of. It's incredible to think about. So let's just real quick, for that person who's struggling, if you're feeling alone, you're depressed, you're in pain, or you know, it seems like God's far away, let's walk this difficult path for a while with our good shepherd. Let's use these special names of God to help us. And it's all here, right here in Psalm 23. If you want to, in the bulletin, you can follow along in that outline. The first one, name of God that I'm going to pick is Yahweh Rohi. And if you've ever studied the old names of God, usually you see Jehovah. But Yahweh is synonymous. And we're more comfortable, I think, to saying Yahweh. Yahweh Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. And we get that name just simply from this title, the Lord, my shepherd. There's not even a verb. There's no is in the original. We just put the is in to make it flow. But it really starts off, the Lord, my shepherd, I shall not want. Isn't that great? The Lord, my shepherd, Yahweh Rohi. He is my feeder. He is the one who gives me nourishment. He is my shepherd. Think about that. He provides everything. He is there. He is totally committed to my well-being. The shepherd is totally committed to the flock's well-being. There is nothing that the shepherd wouldn't do for this flock. If someone bad comes along, if a wolf comes or whatever, he'll do everything, and he or she, I've seen female shepherds in Mexico and other places, if he or she sees someone bad coming, they're ready to do anything they can to fight that off and to protect the flock. Think about Jesus, and he loves us so much. He cares for me beyond measure. Jesus laid down, he says, John 10, he says, I am the good shepherd, and I lay down my life for my sheep. How much more can Jesus be our shepherd? How much more can he be our pastor in that sense where he lays down his life for us so that we'll be protected? Who is God? He is our protector. He is our provider. He is the one who nourishes and feeds us. He is our shepherd. Yahweh Rohi. Love it. Thank you, Lord, for being my shepherd. Number two is, maybe some of you who've been in the youth group, you remember the whole Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Remember that old song? Yahweh Jireh, Yahweh Jireh, however you want to say it. It's a great, great phrase. And what's great about Jehovah Jireh or Yahweh Jireh is the event. How did that name, when did we first hear the name of God, my provider? It happened up on the mountain when Abraham was about to sacrifice Isaac. That biggest faith moment in Abraham's life. That it's like it's one of the biggest moments in the whole Old Testament, where God apparently wanted Abraham to sacrifice his only son that he waited 100 years for. And he gets that knife up, and what does God say? He says, stop. Stop. All it was really was a faith test. And he provided a ram in the thickets, and he brought it, and they sacrificed that instead. And Abraham named that place, say it with me, Yahweh Jireh. God, my provider, the Lord, my provider. What a powerful, powerful thing. Looking at Psalm 23, it's David is acknowledging that God, our shepherd, we lack nothing in our lives. If God is our shepherd, there is absolutely nothing that we don't have. There is nothing that we need. If God is our shepherd, how often do you have that kind of attitude? If God is my shepherd, there's absolutely nothing I need. Can you honestly say to yourself, the Lord is my shepherd, my caregiver, and so I have everything I need to live in spiritual victory. Everything I need. Because I lack nothing from God. Because I lack nothing from God, I can be content in my life. No matter what comes. How many of you can say that in honesty? It's hard. But guys, remember that Jesus provides for us day after day. He provides stability. He provides strength. He provides encouragement in challenging times. He knows best how to provide for me. He knows best how to provide for you and you, and he'll do it differently for each one of us. And each different event, different place where we're at in our lives, he'll provide exactly what we need at exactly the right time. Jesus, God, is our provider. He is our provider. And if we just have this desperate longing for our Lord to be that in our lives, oh, things would be so much easier. Things would be so much better. Thank you, Lord, for being my provider. Thank you, Lord. Third one, Yahweh Shalom. What does Shalom mean? Usually it means peace or a greeting. It can be done that way. Peace to you. But in this case, yeah, throughout the Bible, Shalom means peace. Exactly. The Lord, my peace. First time we ever hear this name in the Bible is this great famous story of Gideon. I love the story of Gideon. We did that when we did our Old Testament heroes. Gideon's our hero. He's a leader. He's in charge, but he's hiding back in this, somewhere in this I'll call it a factory for lack of a word, a wine press. He's hiding from the Midianites, if I remember right. Is that right? I think it's the Midianites. And an angel appears to him. Some think it was Jesus. But an angel appears to Gideon and says, hey, the Lord is gonna take care of your enemies and you're going to completely win. The victory is yours. You're hardly going to have to lift a hand. And after that angel left, after Gideon argued a whole bunch with him, by the way, and was, what? You say what? You say what? You say what? He just couldn't. He was so confused, says, what did you really say it again? Say it again. He just wouldn't believe. He had such a hard time believing. It was so radical what this angel was saying. Afterwards, he built an altar there and said, the Lord is my peace, because victory was going to come and provide peace for the land. You guys think about Psalm 23. Look at the picture in verse 2. When David describes our shepherd taking us to places that are calm and restful and peaceful. First of all, he takes us where? To the green pastures, right? The green meadows. Why is it important that they're green? Help me out. because there's food. That means there's food. It's nutritious, right? Yeah, if your cows and horses only eat the dried up, you know, dead stuff, they're not going to get the nutrients that they need. The green pastures, it provides for us. It's restful. Plus, it's just more comfortable to be a part of, to sit on and rest on, right? And it's prettier, you know, it's wonderful. Green pastures are great. How about the still waters? Why is it important that the shepherd take us to peaceful, still waters? If you're a sheep, yeah. If you're taken to a river, a stream with a huge current, the animals are always afraid of being taken away, rushed off by the current or the rapids, right? And a still water, a peaceful water, is where God the shepherd takes us to give us that peace. And when I think of Jesus, it reminds me so much of that verse we say over and over and over again because we need it. What's on that wall there? Come to me, everybody who's weary, everybody who's tired, everybody who's battle-worn. Come to me if you're exhausted, and I will give you rest. I will give you peace. Some of you, you guys are battle-weary. You're battle-worn because you're fighting the thing in this world. You're fighting the things of this world. You're fighting the enemy himself. And some of it, you're not having much success in. Some of you are slaves to things in this world that are keeping you from being effective. It exhausts you, and it makes you ineffective. There's no peace in your life because you're losing every single battle. God is our peace. He wants to be that in our lives that helps us to become completely rested in him. Rested in him. Oh, I love that. I love that. You guys, if your tank is empty, if the fuel is gone, how are you making it? Where's the victory going to come from? How are you going to be peaceful? Jesus is shalom. During times of battle and fatigue, enables me to find quiet meadows, waters of rest, comfort and hope in turmoil. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for being my peace. My shalom. Number four, Yahweh Rapha. Sometimes you hear it Rofi. The Lord is my healer. The Lord is my restorer. The rebuilder, that's what that word means. The rebuilder. We first hear this word of God, our healer, in Exodus 15, when the children of Israel, they left Egypt, right? I think it was either, you know, it was either Canada or Egypt. I was trying to remember which one it was. Egypt. The children of Israel leave Egypt. They cross the Red Sea on dry land. All the Egyptian soldiers are drowned as God puts the water back where it's supposed to be. And they sing their song. They're celebrating. They're worshiping the Lord. Thank you for this victory. And then right after that, they head into the desert. And immediately, they face problems. And immediately, they face bitter. There's no good water to drink. And they start, you know, what do they start doing? You know what they do, right? They start complaining and griping, and it's just miserable. And God, gracious God, he didn't send snakes or anything yet. First time he hears this complaining, and he simply says in Exodus 15, if you guys will just listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what's right in his sight, if you'll obey his commands, keep his decrees, I won't make you suffer any diseases. I won't make you suffer any of the diseases that I put onto the Egyptians. For I am Yahweh Rapha. I am the Lord your healer, the Lord who heals you. First time we ever hear that phrase. And I think Psalm 23 continues to say that our good shepherd restores our soul. That's the God who restores. That's the God who rejuvenates. That's the God who makes things new when it seemed like it was so broken. Some of you guys feel like you're just constantly, you're broken. You're never going to be able to be fixed. It'll never change. God is the one who completely rejuvenates, completely restores. And you guys like those restoration shows on TV? You know, or the remodeling shows, the homes and things like that? Some of you guys like watching it. Some of us like doing it to actually make it so fun to see something that was so beat up and torn and problem to see it restored and beautiful. God does that. That's who God is. The Lord, my healer, my restorer. And Jesus goes deep inside me, and he brings refreshment and rejuvenation to my soul. And he does it day by day through the Holy Spirit. Remember when he said in John, he said, I provide streams of living water that are going to flow through you, making all things new. Oh, wouldn't it be awesome to experience that all the time? The living water flowing through us. I think that would be great, even through crisis. Oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for being my restorer. Thank you for being my healer. There's a fifth name that I found in Psalm 23. That's Yahweh. Anybody want to guess? You know, you can't really say it in English. There's just no way. That TS just doesn't work, right? It's probably just Sid Canoe or something like that, right? And the K might be a Q, too. You can put it that way. It's like, ah, that's crazy. The first time we see this in the Bible is Jeremiah, but the Lord is speaking through Jeremiah, and he says, in that day, in Jeremiah 33, in that day, Judah, the southern kingdom, Judah will be saved. Jerusalem will live in safety, and this will be its name. The Lord is our righteousness. The Lord is our righteousness. Man, you know, I don't know about you, but whenever I try to be righteous in my strength, whenever I try to be good and behave and do what I'm supposed to do, I do it in my strength, I fail every single time. Paul compares our righteousness to filthy rags. Isn't that nice? But when God places his righteousness in us, oh, my friends, the change that happens, the healing that comes, we become the righteousness of God because Jesus lives in us. When God puts his righteousness in us, we cannot lose. We can't lose. I love Psalm 23:3. When David, again, is trying to explain what the shepherd does, he doesn't just take us to green pastures, doesn't just restore our souls, but he leads us on paths of righteousness. He leads us on, and when I think of that, I don't know about you, but I've been in scary trails before, and I've been on really nice trails. Scary trails where you might get lost, where I think I'm going the right way, and then it gets worse and worse, and you're going, uh-oh, I'm lost. Or when you're on that nice path like Silver Creek Falls or something where it's even paved the whole way, it's like, all right, this is good. We may not know where we are, but we're not lost, at least. And God takes us on paths of righteousness for his name's sake. We naturally think that when we walk through the dark and scary... Oh, that's not that one. That's the next one. Paths of righteousness. Jesus blazed ahead of me on the same path. This is good. That path that's happening, and I'm walking this path in my life, Jesus says, I am always going ahead of you. I am the author and perfecter of this faith. I've run this race already. I'm there. He's always ahead of us as we're going down this path. And I love that because he has blazed the trail for us. There's absolutely no way we can get lost. There's no way we can lose if Jesus is on our path of righteousness. All right, thank you, Lord, for being my righteousness. Wow, what I couldn't do in my own strength. God, you are my righteousness. Number six, God, my companion, the Lord, my companion. Yahweh Shammah, probably. Accent on the end, I'm guessing. Ezekiel 48:35 is the first time we see this. It's the very end of the book of Ezekiel. Some of you like Ezekiel. When that prophet's describing heaven, and he's kind of looking up and he's describing it, and he says, and we'll name that place, the Lord is here. The Lord is here. Yahweh Shammah. The Lord is here. God is our companion. Wherever we are, children of God, wherever we are, where's God? He is right with us. He is with us. And verse 4 in Psalm 23 acknowledges that when we go through that valley of the shadow of death, I mean, how severe is that? Whatever dark place we go through when it seems it's so empty, it's so dark, what's going on? What do we do? Where do we go? What is going to happen? God is saying, even through that valley of the shadow of death, I am right there beside you. I'm right with you. Nothing ever will change that. And I know that means different things to different people, but you know, we think when we go through those dark, nasty, scary places that God must leave. That's what you guys tell me this all the time, so I know it's true. It just feels like God's so far away. But even there in the loneliest, scariest, darkest, depressing place, Yahweh Shema, the Lord our companion, is close beside us. Isn't that awesome? So Jesus is with me wherever I face. I may walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to be anxious. I'm not going to be depressed because the shepherd is facing it with me. Say it with me. Thank you, Lord, for being my companion, my companion. Thank you, Lord, for being my companion. Yahweh Shema. Love it. All right, there is a seventh one. Are you still with me? Yep. Don't let the interruptions get you. We can keep going. The Lord my victor. The Lord my victor. Jehovah Nisi. Yahweh Nisi. Have you ever heard that one before? It literally means the Lord my banner, but also can be used for victor. I love it in the Song of Solomon. There's this phrase that says, "His banner over me is love. His nisi over me is love." I love it. But also in Exodus 17, when the children of Israel, they went traveling in the desert, they faced these Amalekites, one of those other kites, right? Those guys, the termites and the, you know, all those guys, the Amalekites. And they weren't trying to pick a fight. The Israelites were just trying to get to the promised land, but the Amalekites didn't want them to get through. They wanted to defeat these guys because they were scary. So this battle starts. Joshua takes the troops and goes and starts fighting these guys, right? Moses, what does he do? He goes up a mountain, overlooks the whole valley where the battle's going to happen, puts out his arms, and just starts interceding for the people. Whenever his arms were up, what happened? They were winning the battle. When he got tired and put his arms down, what happened? They started losing the battle. Huh. It was one of those interesting moments of just God using the prophet to as a symbol of his power. And so Aaron and Hur, H-U-R, came and they supported Moses, made sure those arms didn't come down. A great, great sign of fellowship and unity there. And Joshua and the soldiers won that battle over the Amalekites. And so Moses built an altar there, and he named it Yahweh Nisi. The Lord is my banner. The Lord is my victor. Love it. Verse 7 says in Psalm 23 that our shepherd prepares a table for us. He's going to provide for us, right? He doesn't just provide a table for us to... So we can eat. But what does he do? He provides a table for us in the presence of our enemies. Now, why would he? What's going on there? Have you ever thought about that? What does that mean? I don't know if it's so that we can gloat and brag. you are humbled enemies, and we are the victors. I don't know if that's how it is, but it's this idea of we win, and God provides this beautiful table. And all the enemies are watching as we're being blessed by God while the enemies are out of luck. God provides. God is the victor in every area of life. I don't know who your enemy is, who or what. Some of you don't have a lot of who enemies, but you have a lot of what enemies. You know what I mean? If it's not a real person, it's a thing. It's a false belief. It's a bad or a sad feeling. It's something. Whatever that enemy is in your life, in the midst of dark times, Jesus promised to be a stronghold, to be a sustainer. His presence protects us from the fiery darts of the enemy. We have nothing to fear. Amen? So we say, thank you, Lord, for being our victor. You provide a table for us in front of our enemies. Almost done. Yahweh Makedesh. Makedesh, the Lord is our sanctifier. He's our redeemer. I found this one in Leviticus, a couple of places. One time it says here in Leviticus 20, so Set yourselves apart to be holy, for I am the Lord your God. Keep all my decrees, put them into practice, for I am Yahweh Makedesh. I am the Lord who makes you holy. Oh, I love this. I love this. And here's where it gets so cool, guys, in this psalm. When David, King David, writing the psalm, says that the shepherd, the good shepherd, anoints our head with oil. He anoints our head with oil. This picture of he is our sanctifier. He's our redeemer. Oil is often a symbol in Scripture of who? The Holy Spirit. Often. And I don't know if it is here, but it's sure, I can sure visualize this. If someone's anointing our head with oil, it's God's presence is coming on that person for whatever reason. You anoint my head with oil. And the Holy Spirit wants to do that for each one of you, to anoint you with oil, to let you feel his presence too. He is the one who makes you holy. He is the one who makes you sanctified. But God is the one who is our redeemer, the one who saves us. Oh, thank you, Lord, for being my sanctifier. Thank you, Lord, for being my redeemer. Let me close with Yahweh Elyon. Yahweh Elyon, the Lord Most High. The Lord Most High. There's a lot of places that this name of God is given. He is the Most High God. And it's just important to close and say that it's for the last name. He deserves our praise. He deserves our loyalty, whatever situation I find myself. I love Psalm 78. That's one of my favorite of this, where it says, "And they remembered that God was their rock." They remembered that God was their rock, the Most High God, their Redeemer. The Most High God. You see, Psalm 23 closes with that beautiful, beautiful promise, that beautiful statement. This is, of course, surely. Don't call me Shirley, right? No, that's a different joke. But of course, obviously, surely, it's got to be true. I am confident that God's goodness and his mercy will follow me all the days of my life. His goodness and his mercy will follow me. That is the Lord Most High who does that for you. Why are you walking in defeat? Why are you going down this path and it seems so dark? Why are you so depressed all the time? Why are you battling these demons in your own strength? Why are you so tempted by drugs, alcohol, and all the other stuff that this world throws at us? Why is it so easy to fall for that stuff? When we have the Lord Most High as our shepherd who wants to lead us into all that he has provided for us, because he will be with us every single day of our life if we let him. The only reason that you can't hear God is honestly is because you're not listening. Because he's always speaking to us. He's always there. He's always right beside us. So thank you, Lord, for being Lord Most High. Are you struggling to accept the path that you're on? I don't know where you guys, all of you, I don't know if you, where you would say what kind of path you're on right now. What's the journey that God seems to be taking you on? Are you struggling to accept that? Be honest with God. Be honest with us. Acknowledge you don't understand what's happening. Cry out to him and he will listen. He'll respond graciously. Thank you, Lord, for being my shepherd. I have everything I need. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that in stormy seas, you want to be that anchor for us. And I love this psalm so much, not just for the comfort it brings, but for the truth it reveals about who you are, God. And I confess to you that I fall short of living and acknowledging that you are who you are in all these ways in my life. I need you to be more of that in me. And I ask your forgiveness and I ask for your help, that you would anoint us all with your oil and your presence and your spirit again. And help us to be strong for you, God. Help us to be able to hear your voice clearly. Help us, God, that when the storms come, we won't turn away from you, but we will know that you are right beside us. I ask for your help, God. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys, God bless you. Go be the church. Invite somebody to Alpha this week, all right?